What's going on, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles, and the only Islanders podcast to finally get off the schneid. Yes, we're looking at you, Jordan. I'm one of your captains on this weekly Isles adventure. Please keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times. I'm joined by my co-captains, one of which you might know. He's the host of the Beantown Bake Off podcast, Ben Cohen. How you doing, Ben?
What made you say that? Was that the reference from last week?
Yes.
Oh, I live in... Yeah. I don't like living in Bruins territory. It's not my fault. I don't control where I live. I'm 17.
And the honorary chapter leader of the Great Northern Squirrel Resistance, Kenny Ivero.
Oh, dude. What's going on, guys? Don't talk to me about squirrels right now.
Okay. Are they...
No comment. You know, we're just, it's an ongoing battle, but, we're having an exterminator, like, remedy the issue.
So they weren't run over by cars.
Right.
No.
And at this point, like, they've already had time to have a Rocky montage, so they're ready for you. So it's over. Just forget it.
Yeah. It's we're going to put the house up for sale.
Anyway, again, thanks for listening. We are going to bring back the Natural Hat Trick this week. Because we each have something important that we want to say or get off our chest. Before we do that, shall we recap some of the games? It's been a few. It's been three games since the last episode. Isles wrapped up the California road trip, which was not very good. 1 point out of 6. I was very confident going into the LA game, and that didn't go so well. Isles dropped that one 4-1. But they're back on track. They picked up a big win against Columbus, beating them 2-0. And then we're recording this on Tuesday, so right before the Montreal game. Last night, Isles had a solid win in Motown, beating the Red Wings 4-1. So we're back on track, 18-5-2. Can't complain. I'm happy. You guys happy?
Yeah. Why? I mean, you're back on track, exactly what you said. But I have two bones to pick. And one of them has to do with hockey, and one of them doesn't. Which should I do first?
Flip a coin.
Okay, I'll do the one that has to do with hockey, because it has to do with what you just said. After the Columbus game, which we won 2-0, a tweet from a Columbus fan made the rounds on Isles Twitter. And I wanted to address it, because it's, like, mostly wrong, in my opinion. But, like, I don't know. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. So, HB Kevin 91581 said,
"Loser."
Yeah, a Columbus fan said, "If I were an Isles fan, I think I'd want to either kill myself or give up on hockey. Watching that boring hockey for 82 or more games a year, no thank you." So, first of all, I just wanted to establish that the Blue Jackets are not going to make the playoffs this year and are probably not going to make the playoffs for another few years. So that or more that you're referring to is the playoffs, which the Islanders will be in for the foreseeable future, we hope. And we think probably. Knock on wood. But also, the Islanders aren't boring, right? Like, is it just me?
No, they're pretty boring, actually.
I don't think we're boring. No, I mean, I feel like that's like a spit and chicklets, like, popular thing to say. We don't really get a lot of attention as far as, like, you know, we're not winning the same way that, like, Tampa Bay won all their games last year, where it's, you know, this high flying and, like, offense and lighting teams up. It's more of like a structured, like, I don't know, like, maybe playoff style, if you want to say that. Like,
structured is a nice way of saying that we play a defensive game. We don't really possess the puck. I mean, look, if I was not an Islanders fan, would I be tuning in to watch the Islanders? No, probably not. Not with this lineup.
No,
I mean,
Matt
Barzal is worth the price of admission. But he's outside of him, we do play an ugly style of hockey. I like it because it equates to winning, and that's all I care about. Does anybody go back and say, "Oh, well, the Devils won all their cups, but man, they were boring to watch." Well, I guess people do say that. But anyway,
but that's not like that. That was like a thing where it's like the rules needed to be changed. Like, this isn't something that the league can do, you know, and be like, "Oh, we're gonna like stifle this like style of." It's just the Islanders. Everyone else is so used to this like new NHL where everything's like super speed and skill and this roller hockey of ice hockey that it's like kind of becoming. It's like this run and gun league now taken over by, you know, younger skilled guys. And we don't have that roster, but, you know, when you just play the right way, you don't need those things. And if this is a more consistent way to perform on a nightly basis, you know, we don't have a lot of games where we have to come back from 2-0 or 3-0 or 3-1. Is that exciting, winning games like that? Is it exciting losing 5-4? Ask the Doug Waite era fans, you know, how'd that go? That wasn't very exciting. So,
well, let me formally respond to this? First of all, I feel for Columbus fans because they went all in. They won their cup by beating the Lightning in the first round, and now they're going to be pretty bad for a while. So I think the tweet is irresponsible and reprehensible.
Was he wearing a Panarin jersey?
But, yeah, maybe. But here's what I'll say. I will take winning all day long. No one cared that the Blues weren't flashy because they won a cup. So the Islanders, I think, are more in line with a team like St. Louis than they are a team like the Lightning or the Hurricanes or the Rangers. But as I'm often inclined to do, I will plug The Athletic yet again, because Justin Bourne put a great article out like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about how some teams went all in on skill a little too much. And he cited the Lightning, who are struggling this year, and he cited the Maple Leafs, who have had their struggles this year, that they went too far one way, where it's all flash, it's all skill, it's zero grit. And the Islanders are much more the lunch pail team that, you know, they're not flashy, but you know what? I'm going to take 103 points and second place, you know, and home ice in the first round of the playoffs. And I'm going to take an 18-5-2 record. So, yeah, would it be more fun to see a track meet every so often? Sure. I appreciate that. But if you lose the game 6-5, do you really care at the end of the day? Like, if you saw some interesting goals? No, you're pissed off because they lost. So that's sour grapes. Enjoy the bottom for a while. And that's all I have to say about that. And your cannon sucks. So there.
Exactly, David, and what you were just saying about the Blues versus the Lightning, Hurricanes, and Rangers. When was the last time the Blues won a Stanley Cup? A couple months ago. When was the last time any of the other three teams won a Stanley Cup? Longer ago. And so I'd rather have my team have won a Stanley Cup last 4 months ago than, what was it, like 2008, the last time one of those teams won a Stanley Cup? Something like that?
Yeah.
I just want to mention this also, like that whole West Coast trip before Thanksgiving, that was like, those three games were just a wash. Like, I don't even count that as part of this streak. And that might sound like the most homer thing to say ever, but after the streak we just went on and then having to go out west right before Thanksgiving.
With no games rest.
Yeah. Like, that's a joke. That was a terrible thing to do. Like, I don't think any team, like, statistically, you look back at like a 3-game Western road trip before Thanksgiving, it's like these guys are just checked out, probably spent from beating up on everybody for so long. Then we come back with two wins in a row. You know, we're 2 hours away from, you know, a potential, you know, the third win in a row. So we're right back on track. I mean, this team is for real. I just wanted to kind of mention like my thoughts on those three games out west, which are just, you know, weird games to watch.
It's okay to have a slump, you know?
Yeah, like, we were in every game. You're
allowed to do that. Like, would I have liked them to get some more points out of it? Sure, yeah. But yeah, that's fine. And to go back to the tweet real quick, the Columbus tweet, he sounds a lot like my friend from Buffalo when we beat them 3-0. He's like, you guys are the new Devils. And I'm like, well, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the game. So I think when teams get shut out, they get a little whiny. So maybe that's what it is too.
I don't get it. I don't understand like this whole like we're not boring. Like what?
We're not the most exciting team either.
But like, I feel like I'm somewhere between you guys, because if you look at like, I agree with him that the Columbus game was a little bit boring. Like, I was watching with my friend who I was trying to get to like hockey, he's not a hockey fan, and he was just like, you don't have the puck, you're not doing anything, you're sitting back and you scored twice. Whoop-de-doo, that wasn't fun to watch. And from an outsider's perspective, I don't disagree. But again, two things. One, I'm an Islanders fan, and I saw them win, so happy days. From the second side of things, like, I think a lot of the reason that we thought that or that I'm thinking that they were boring in that game and that Damon, you're clearly agreeing, is that a couple weeks back they were coming back from being 3-0 down to Philly in the third period to winning in a shootout, and there were two, like a 5-4 and a 4-3 overtime wins against Pittsburgh in a home and home. And as much as the identity of this team is not trying to be 5-4 overtime wins, we've seen a lot of them this year, have we not?
No, we have. I think the Islanders are kind of a team too that, to an extent, and not a large extent, but to an extent, they do kind of almost mirror their opponent in a way. Like that home and home with Pittsburgh, those were great hockey games.
Exactly.
Like, even if we lost, like those were exciting hockey games. It could be also that Columbus just doesn't have anyone exciting to watch either, so it was a very boring game in general. That's, I mean, who are their game breakers? Zach Werenski? Like, come on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is maybe it's just that the Islanders are only fun when they play good teams, which kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the opposite of good teams, which is bad teams, what did you guys think of the Detroit game last night? That's a pretty awful hockey team defensively.
You just handled them.
Yeah. Kind of a walk.
They're good in their own zone, for sure. They're exciting. Like, Athanasiou, he can play. Dylan Larkin, he's fast. I mean, he had a nice goal. But, like, their defense, like, Mike Green just doesn't care. Like, Butch ripped him a new one on that Clutterbuck.
Yeah. Like, he was never good defensively. He's checked out. What are you gonna do? Yeah.
Well, that's a rough. And look, the attendance. Did you see the building in Detroit? Pretty empty.
That was like Carolina pre-Don Cherry ripping into them.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Maybe Detroit needs a storm surge or something.
Yeah.
Also, one maybe of my takeaways from that game, Franz Nielsen with just gave me the ammunition I needed for all the Josh Bailey haters. Said that Josh Bailey was the smartest hockey player he has ever played with.
Apropos Franz Nielsen, he really did not play well last night. And from his stats this year, has not played well this season.
He has zero goals.
Feel bad for the guy. Like, he was really awful last night.
He's still exactly what we need. We still need a 3C that plays just like him. Like,
yeah.
You could probably trade back for him for like pennies.
We don't know. Right, his salary is ridiculous, man.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I love him. He's so good.
Ready? Lad for Nielsen.
I'll take it.
Right?
I'm not doing this.
Oh, you got a Lad jersey now?
No. I was just saying I'm not doing the whole like, oh, this guy, this guy. But that kind of actually makes sense,
right?
Yeah, doesn't it?
Come on, man. Let's go.
You can have 51 back.
Hey, and all listen,
right, so look, I think the Isles did what they needed to do last night. Was it the prettiest game in the world? No, but they did what they needed to do. They won the game. They beat a pretty pathetic, I mean, 10 losses in a row now for Detroit. You feel for them. But you know what? They had enough wins for how many years they were unstoppable. What was it, like 25 years in the playoffs? It's okay to be bad for a little bit now. The great balance in the world.
Eisenman will figure it out.
They need
to be bad right now if they want to be good in a couple of years, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right, so, I have a question for you guys. Okay. So the game that I was talking about before where Philly were up 3-0 after the third period. I mean, after the second period. I wasn't able to watch that game, and I told my friends, which was the stupidest decision of my life, not to tell me the score that they were playing, and of course they wouldn't have known that they were playing, and so wouldn't have told me if I hadn't told them. So I'm an idiot. Because I was at a birthday party, my mom's birthday party, and my mom's good friend is a Flyers fan. So their way of telling my friends the score was at 6:11 left in the second period. They took my phone, screenshotted a Google search that said that the Flyers were up 3-0, and made it my wallpaper. Now I decided to keep it as my wallpaper for a while, and it's still my wallpaper as like ammunition. I don't know why, but I like it. So do you think I should move on, or do we think it's cool and I should keep it?
I think you should keep it.
I think
the Flyers. The Flyers are on our heels. Have you looked at the
standings? Really?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you this right now. If the first round of the playoffs, I know we're a long way from this, but God help me if the first round of Isles Flyers, like,
that's gonna be sick for you, huh? Be
miserable after like every game, and I just can't.
Well, at least it's not gonna be Islanders Rangers, so Kenny.
Yeah,
you got a while for that, bud.
I'm doing well here. A lot of back talk happening.
They are. Yeah, I know. And you know, this is okay. So can we transition from the Rangers to my topic for the week? Because
yeah, let's do it.
Okay, all right. So here's the thing. I'm gonna go off a little bit, but just bear with me, guys. And then please, you can have your shots on me after this.
To clarify, we don't know what you're saying going into this.
Right,
Kenny and I.
Right. You have no idea. You kind of have an idea, but you really don't. We're talking about the Rangers and how bad they are. And it kills me that realistically what the Islanders need to be a legit cup contender is Artemi Panarin. Like, they had a chance to get him. Lou tried. There was no way he was coming. He was going to the Rangers. But it kills me to think what could have been, because Bredman is exactly what the Islanders need. They need a game-breaking winger. So that transitions to Taylor Hall. He's getting very popular because the Devils are starting to field offers on him. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter saying that they think that you only do this if you can re-sign Taylor Hall, to which I say, why? The Islanders have a team filled with long-term contracts. They don't need another long-term contract. They need a mercenary to play with Matt Barzal. You don't have winning seasons all the time. This isn't Detroit. This isn't Pittsburgh. This is the Islanders. Okay, this is new territory for this team. I'm seeing a lot of fans that quickly forget how fast you can go from being relevant to being absolute crap. Okay, so my point with all of that is that you can't take what we did last year and what we're doing this year for granted. You can't expect that this is going to happen next year or the year after that, because guys are going to be getting older. They're not going to be producing at the level they are. And biggest one of all, you've got Ryan Pulock, Devon Taves. You guys have me saying Devon now. Devon Taves and Matt Barzal on entry-level cheap deals. You still control their free agency. All of that is gone after this year. It's gone. You're going to have the same team with a much higher payroll. Same production, same guys, higher payroll. You have 1 year left this year of Matt Barzal for pennies on the dollar. How do you not throw everything you can at trying to get Taylor Hall and giving this kid a legit wing that he has not had? And that, quite frankly, we didn't give JT either, and is probably one of the reasons why he ended up walking, which another story for another day. But it's the same thing. Now, I want to read off some numbers for you guys for Matt Barzal, because I think, realistically, Matt Barzal can have 100 to 120 points if he had a good winger. And this is the ammunition that I have. Ozone puck possession per game up to this point. Number one in the league, Matt Barzal. 1 minute, 11 seconds of offensive puck possession per game. Number two, Eichel, tied with Eichel. Him and Panarin with 1:10. McDavid 4, McKinnon 5. These are elite hockey players. Matt Barzal, top of the list. He's also top 5 for zone entries. Okay, Matt Barzal's number 5 with 181. Then you got Pasternak, Eichel, Goudreau, and McDavid. Get this kid a winger now. I don't care who it costs you in the future, because you know what? We've got long-term deals. We just signed Jordan Eberle. We just signed Anders Lee. We just signed Brock Nelson. We've got Oliver Wahlstrom in the pipeline. And you know what? If you need to trade him, you trade him. If you need to get rid of your first-round pick, you get rid of him. Because you know what? The Isles are going to have late first-round picks. And they've been 50-50 on their first-rounders for the last decade. For every Matt Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier, you've got a Josh Hosang and a Michael Dal Cole, or a Griffin Reinhardt, or a Nino Niederreiter. So they don't always work out. trade the picks, trade some of the future now, and if it's only for a rental, so be it. Make your run now. End of rant.
Ben, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm curious because I don't disagree with you. I just think that, and from the text conversations that we've had, my inkling is that Kenny and I don't disagree, but would probably be a little bit more hesitant in terms of what you'd give up. Would I be right in saying that, Kenny?
Listen, I definitely prior, if you just brought up the point and not explained it, you know, the question that you had, then I probably would be like, you know what? I don't think I would want to do it. But when you really paint it like that and talk about the long-term deals we have and, you know, like, I know, Ben, it might seem like not a great idea to do this, but this is one of those things where 100-point seasons, you know, in 2 or 3 years, this could all be over. And this team right now looks like a team you definitely don't want to play in the playoffs. You know, we've been saying that for since the beginning of the season, which, you know, I crazily everyone else didn't give us a chance. But this is a team already without a guy like that, super dangerous team to play in the playoffs, maybe not a cup contender. You add a Taylor Hall. I'd give up Wahlstrom, even as a rental. Like, is Wahlstrom going to be Taylor Hall? No, it just ain't happening. And a first-round pick, like Damon said, it's not going to be a top-five pick. And there's 1,000 Michael Dell calls and only a few Tyler Sagans. And, you know, it's not everyone works out, you know? Like, every top-five pick just doesn't work out. Yeah, the first overall guys, they usually pan out. After that, it's a complete crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get. You can get a stud at 16 like Barzell, or you can get a complete bust in a top five pick like a Ryan Strome. So it's like, you just don't know. And I honestly, I think you get a guy like Terrell Hall in here who has a relationship with Eberle. I feel like this is like a good locker room. It's got to be like such a better locker room than New Jersey. He might want to stay here. The earlier you get him here, the more I'd give, obviously, you know, first round picks.
Is like,
he's going to stay if he gets here, I think.
Maybe, because I'm thinking about it, and my first inclination is like, the Islanders are so, I mean, I know that they're probably not as low as they were, but they're definitely not high on people's, you know, list of destinations. And they used to be on everyone's no trade list, and now they're probably off some people, but still not 100%, I'd say.
He has no like say in where he goes. Also,
yeah, no. I'm just saying in terms of how desirable is the Islanders.
I think but that thing is like I agree. But once everyone gets here, they usually stay. Like, remember Nabokov was like, I'm not coming. That, you know, then once he gets here, it's like, okay, yeah, Long
stole
Island
him off
good.
Of waivers.
You know what I mean? Like that wasn't the only guy. There was multiple guys like that. Talk crap and then they get here and realize and that was when we were a joke. You know,
I mean,
not
in terms of talking crap, but like it wasn't his decision to come here and then he resigned.
New arena too, like that could be a thing, you know, like of course, like
Barry Trotz, consistency, winning. These guys, this is important to these guys. But forget even that. Forget the long term side of it. Right now, today. Just answer me this today. The Islanders roster as it is. Do you honestly think that they can get past the second round with this team? You think that they can get past Boston or Washington in a 7-game series today with the lineup that they have?
No. Not those two teams.
Then
if
right.
They're lucky. I don't think they'd be favored. I think they can if they're lucky.
Yeah, but luck in a 7-game series, that don't mean anything, man. There's no, this is not like football where one guy has a bad game or something, and you know you stumble your way to an AFC championship or something. No, this is a 7-game series. Like you might get lucky one, even maybe two games, but not in a 7-game series.
Yeah,
there's no way the Islanders beat Boston. I would be shocked, and Washington's gonna be tough too. Like now. Add Taylor Hall to this team. Different story.
Maybe.
Different story. Now it's more of a coin flip. Would you not rather have that? Like, who cares if he doesn't stay? This team needs a run. This team hasn't made a run since 1992.
Yeah, it's time. Like, I agree. And listen, if there's like a short list of guys that you do this for,
and he's
and
on
this
it.
He's on it. Like, he's the guy. Like, Panarin would have been on it last year too. You know, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, we're having a year, guys. You know, like, and even more so now, it makes more sense to do it for a guy like this. And there aren't a lot of guys, but
Kenny, and you said it, and it's not just a deadline thing. Like, you can get him now. You don't have to wait until the deadline.
Yeah. No.
And that I think also makes a difference. But that's what I'm thinking of, is what would you have to give? Like, I don't think you need to give someone who's playing in the lineup.
Well, that's the thing. I think you're going to have to give up a defenseman.
I think you've got one untouchable player, and that's Noah Dobson. I think everyone else is fair game. I think Wahlstrom is fair game. I think our draft pick is, you know, our number one.
No, I'm talking about guys who are playing. Like, are there guys in the lineup right now who you don't think are fair, who you think are fair game? And let's assume people who, like, actually are of use. Like, let's not say Leo Komarov, because, you know, he's not going to be part of the deal.
I think there'd only be one player that would interest the Devils, and I don't think the Islanders would do it, and I think it's Anthony Beauvillier, as far as forwards go.
What do you think about Eberle? Do you think they would want it? I don't want to give Eberle, but
no, and I have to look. I think he's got some no movement stuff. I don't know. I don't think Eberle's not there. They want futures. They're a team that's rebuilding. They need futures. So, like, I think you can do it with picks. And you know what? Make it conditional. Make it conditional for, you know, a second rounder and next year's first if he re-signs with the Isles. I mean, you can do that stuff. Lou knows we need this. That's why he went all – that's why he was going to overpay for Panarin. He knows that that's the difference between being a playoff team versus being a cup contender. And there's a big difference between those two things. The Islanders are a playoff team. Make Dude. No doubt about it. They beat the teams they should beat. They go on runs. But you're not beating Boston with this lineup, and you're not beating Washington, in my opinion, with this lineup. That's a tough, tough task when you don't have game breakers. Taylor Hall is a game breaker. You put him with Matt Barzal, and then do you know how much heat you take off of Nelson and Beauvillier and Brassard's line?
And Barzal.
Then you've got Bailey and Eberle as your third line options, and then their fourth line comes and beats the crap out of everybody. I'll take that all day long. And these Islander fans that sit there on Twitter and say, well, only if he re-signs. Like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't want to mortgage the future, so what? If your draft picks work out the way that they're going to work out, your team's going to be in the same position they are now. So what is – like, you're just going to be perpetually waiting for something to happen. You got to go out and make something happen.
This is the time to do it, because, like, you have the coach that it's like literally you just plug in a guy of similar style and it's going to work out. Not even like – it's not even like a skill thing. Like, you can just have a guy pop in anywhere in this lineup. Like, Beauvillier could play on the first line, or he could play on the third line or fourth. It's like we got guys that can fill holes, and Trotz is the coach that, yeah, you make a move like this, because – even if Oliver Wahlstrom turns into a 30-goal scorer, like, that guy's not the difference between the Islanders winning and losing anymore. Like, we're not a Panarin on the Rangers. Like, we have a balanced attack where it's like we can make a move like this now, knowing you're gonna have these guys running your team and this coaching style and this system for the next five years. You know, so it's like,
I mean, if you look at the powerhouses in American sports, you're looking at teams who repeatedly make trades that you think that they lose them. Like when the Bruins traded, I forget who they traded to get Charlie Coyle out of Minnesota, but it was one of their younger guys who looked like he had a future, wasn't doing so well, but 100% had a future at the team. I need to look this up. Coyle trade. His name is on the tip of my tongue.
Wasn't it Donato?
Yeah, Ryan Donato. And we're talking about a guy who has a future in the NHL, a bright future in the NHL. And when you look at that trade one-for-one for a guy who was a rental, because I think Charlie Coyle re-signed, but he was, for all intents and purposes, a rental, even though since he's re-signed. And you're thinking, I don't know if that's the best trade for the Bruins. They make those trades every single year, and you think, all right, at some point they have to be done. At some point their dynasty of being amazing has to end, and it never does. And the same thing happens with the Patriots. You think about them trading for wide receivers, like they traded for Brandon Cooks, and now they traded for Mohamed Sanu. And if you're not a football fan, then you think I'm talking gibberish. But basically, they're repeatedly trading draft picks for guys to help out Brady, who I'm assuming you know, because Tom Brady. And you think at some point this has to end, and it never does. They're always dominant, and it never stops. And the Islanders don't make those moves. And I'm with you. Like, I feel myself having those symptoms that you're talking about of perpetually waiting.
It's complacency. You think that you're going to always be good. Like, I remember I had this conversation, and then we'll move on because I know we've probably beat this to death. But I had this conversation with my brother when the Mets were in the World Series a couple years ago. And he's like, they were like down 2-0 to the Royals, and like it wasn't looking good. And he's like, oh, next year we're going to be – I said, no, timeout, man. I said, enjoy where you're at right now, because the Mets, the Jets, the New York teams that have not been relevant in the last 3 decades, they don't get better. They get worse, or they get complacent and they decline because they don't make the moves that they need to make. And I said, just enjoy the World Series run. It's a special year. They got hot at the right time, but do not have the expectation that they're going to make the World Series next year, or they're going to be this dominant team, because historically they don't do that. And sure enough,
they made the playoffs. I don't even think they made the playoffs the next year.
No. My point is, you have to constantly be trying to improve your team. I don't care what the record is. Like, my favorite thing now with Brian Compton, thinks he's such a wise ass. He's like, oh, you know, it's been, you know, the Islanders are, they shows their record, blah, 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 since Lou made a trade. And it's like, okay, they won one playoff series in that time. Like, they can get better. Don't get complacent. Why do the Penguins always trade for guys at the end? It's always an arms race at the end. Washington, like, and I'm not saying that they go out for and make these blockbuster deals, but they fine-tune their lineup. Well, the Islanders need to fine-tune in a little bit of a bigger way, because they need some more balanced scoring. You know, they're like lowest in the league in shots per game. They don't score a lot. Yeah, they're stingy on defense, but can you imagine if they scored a lot and they kept the same defensive structure? That is how you win championships. So, again, I just don't know what everybody's waiting for, because at best, Wahlstrom, when he's ready, will be a Brock Nelson type player. Like, these are not like, you know, these are not like the Sidney Crosby and even John Tavares when he came into the league. Like, these are second line guys. These are like good role playing guys. But like, go out there, make a splash, and stop being so cautious with everything. And if he doesn't resign, who cares? We might not be able to afford him anyway. We might not have him resign because we can't afford him, because we got to take care of our own guys. So that's my whole thing.
I was gonna say there's still a chance that, and as a UFA, he can come here. I mean, you can move a contract like a Letty and shave $5 million off your cap and replace him with Dobson probably full time next year, and it would even like make a difference. So like you could save money and still bring in a guy like that. And phones are a thing in life.
They are. Bolduc also, like, you've got all these prospects, like Bolduc's tearing it up in juniors. Like, that kid, like, we've got a stud on our hands here.
And
like
Bodie Wild too, once he irons out.
Yeah, man. Like,
we're okay.
We got players. Okay. Like, we're gonna be fine.
And you can trade a Bodie Wild and a first, and maybe just a little bit more, and get Taylor Hall with.
Here, ready? Yeah. Dobson and a first round, a Dobson and a second round pick. You do it?
No. You don't do Dobson. Dobson is
not Dobson.
Dobson's special. Dobson is your number one D man in the future. You don't trade that. You trade everything else.
Okay.
I'd give Wild a first and a conditional second, or a conditional first.
You do next year's first, and if he resigns, you do the following year's first. These are going to be like 20 something, you know, pick 20 something in the first round. Like, we're not they're not going to be high picks.
We're talking about a Simon Holmstrom.
Right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Sorry.
Dogs are also a thing.
Dogs are also a thing. I'll be right back. All right. Sorry.
Was that the Uber Eats McDonald's you got?
Yeah, that was it. I love my Big Macs.
We just hit Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is always like a benchmark in hockey. You know, there's the stats of the likelihood of a team that's in a playoff position to make the playoffs. It's something ridiculous, like 74% of some or something. Is that that number? Does that ring
a bell? That sounds about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which seems ridiculous, especially if you're in a spot that, like, I think the Penguins are the 8th seed right now. Something like that, to be so likely to make the playoffs. But as such, we're almost a third into the season, right? Something like that, like a third.
Yeah, we're 24 games, 25 games in.
Yeah. So I wanted to go through the roster and give player grades. What I wanted to do is I told you guys about player grades, but I didn't want to tell you how to do it because what I'm thinking is that you guys, I'll say a name, you guys just give a grade, and then what I'll do is I'll give you the stats after. And then we can talk about it and see if we want to change our grade based on things we, you know, think based on their stats. I can give you any stat you want. But I was just thinking like goals, assists, points, maybe like plus minus or something like that. And then just to see like spontaneously, like if you were to say, for example, not the first one is Josh Bailey and say one of us said like A minus. And then we saw his numbers and we're like, yeah, on first, my instinct was A minus, but maybe I think he's an A or something like that. So is that good with you guys?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, so number one is Josh Bailey.
I go B.
Wow, harsh.
I gotta say B plus, because yeah, he can have more, but like now, nah, you know, I'm gonna say A minus because he's been a role player. Like he goes like wherever he goes.
True.
That line succeeds, like whether it's third line to shut down, you know, the opponent, or whether it's, I mean, you see immediately Bailey goes back to the first line and Andersley starts scoring goals again.
True. Yep. Seven goals, 10 assists, 17 points. I think I'd go A minus two.
Yeah.
What I was thinking that we do is what if we calculated the GPA of the Islanders based on the player grades?
Hang on. Let me get my pocket protector and then we can start.
I mean, it's got to be like it can't be anything less than an A minus at this point.
Well, wait, are we going? We're not going through every single player on the roster, are we?
Let's just do like the like. What about guys that have played at least like 10 games?
How many is that?
It won't be that. It'll just be like two minutes of, or maybe like 30 seconds.
All right, no, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, we can do like a rapid fire thing if you want.
Okay, Matt Barzal.
I think A plus.
A plus.
Scoring more, you know, it's like that's the only thing he needed to do, like shoot more, I guess, you know.
So. And he's dishing it more to players when to take the heat off of him, like well, where he's not, you're not seeing as many of those egregious turnovers that you saw last year, so he's making more room for himself.
You make more room for yourself when you shoot because everyone isn't just expecting you to only pass the puck, which is his, you know, he's so good at creating stuff that it's just like, you know. When he starts scoring, it's like, well, now he's just unstoppable because the only reason why people were making reads off him is because he was too predictable. You know, now he's not predictable and he's just better than everyone else.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Period. Like.
Okay, Anthony Beauvillier.
A plus.
Yeah, same thing. A plus. He
does everything well. They talk about Bailey. He's another guy that just does everything well.
He's killing penalties. He's grinding. He's winning puck battles. He's making plays. He doesn't score every game, but he's involved every game consistently. From game one this year, he has been consistent. I don't know if I would expect anything more from him for a second line wing like that. A plus, yeah.
I'm thinking A because like I don't think I'd expect anything more from him. And I love Anthony Beauvillier. I don't want this to sound like criticism, but I feel like A plus is like you could not possibly be doing better. And
he has nine goals already. Like that's I mean, I guess it's a quiet nine goals because it's not a consistent like drip. It seems like he like does it in like more like spurts, but
yeah, he has the same amount of Josh Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, dude, this guy's for real. Second leading goal scorer on our team, and half the NHL doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, fair. Okay. So next is Johnny Boychuk. More controversy, I think.
Give him a B.
I'll give him a B just because, like, you know, I'm taking, like, it's not just straight up, like, how good he is against every other defensive player we have. I think it's more like the guy's 35 years old, so, like, that's kind of, like, graded on a curve a little bit, you know? So I'm not expecting a ton, but he's not hurting us. So, you know, I think he's a great player, and he's probably ridiculously good to have in a locker room and mentor these younger defensemen. So,
yeah. I was even thinking maybe B plus because, I mean, he has a goal and 6 assists.
He doesn't hurt us out there, man.
In 24 games, a plus 2. And I think when you look, like, the first couple of games of the season he played, he wasn't so great. But then Dobson came in for 2 or 3 games. And then Boychuk came back in and he was amazing. And then a couple of games during the streak toward the end of it, he looked a little bit tired. But I don't even think that's his fault, you know? He's just old, like you said. So yeah. I'm even thinking B plus.
Yeah.
What's our verdict?
Either B or B plus. I would say if you give him a B plus, I can justify that because he's had the best celly of any team team member so far with the glove off and he shot Peter Mrazek.
Okay, we're going with B plus.
Didn't they lose that game too?
They did lose that game. Yes.
Oh, that's the worst part. Oh,
that's the best part.
Cellying and then losing.
It's hilarious.
The two best things that Islander players have done to the opponent's goalies have been in losses. When Brock Nelson patted Mrazek on the head, both against Carolina, when he patted him on the head.
That was the best. That was my favorite Brock Nelson moment of all time. I'm not joking either. Like, that is so subtle. Of
flexing ever.
I love it, dude. I love that stuff.
A minus.
What could you have expected more out of this guy?
His first 10 games were miserable.
Well, that's not his fault. He was at center.
The position he's played his whole career.
Well, you know what? You're right. Okay.
I was thinking A because
A. I'm a little crazy.
Because he, like, underachieved, but then drastically overachieved. You know.
Well, didn't we say, like, Franz Nielsen 2.0? And what do you guys think so far?
I mean, no, because he's not defensively Franzi. No,
I mean, I'm
winger,
sorry. Philpola 2.0. Philpola.
No, because Philpola was a shutdown. Philpola scored, but he was like a shutdown. Broussard's more offensive. Like, Broussard succeeding this way and putting him on the wing is a great thing for Derek Broussard, but it really puts the Islanders in a bind because our third line is, like, non-existent. So
true. That's true.
Trade
B plus to A minus for me.
Really?
Yeah.
He had a really good
like chunk of games when he moved to wing, but his beginning is terrible. And he was signed as a center, and he's not a center anymore. He's a winger.
Here's the reason I'm thinking about an A, and I think maybe we should go with A minus just because of how low, you know, you're kind of with your outliers bringing it down a little bit. But Josh Bailey, we gave an A minus to, and he has 17 points. Anthony Beauvillier, we gave an A-plus to, and he has 17 points. Derek Broussard also has 17 points, just like Josh Bailey, 7 goals and 10 assists. We're talking about a guy that we expect less from than Josh Bailey, and we're going to give him a lower grade than we gave Josh Bailey.
Are we only grading on points? Because as far as I know, they play two ways. They play offensive and defensive hockey.
Fair.
So.
Okay, fair. You won that one.
Yeah.
I think we should go A-.
And if Eberle gets hot, it's like you could easily kind of just like – see that working without Broussard being there, insert Eberle, and now it's like, well, is Broussard going to kill it on a different line? You know, like, does he have that impact, or is he like, he's not a guy that drives the bus, he's more like a passenger, I feel like, even though he's still producing.
He's a complimentary piece. I agree with. A very good one.
Tradable asset. I mean, right? I mean, you could get something for him if you really wanted to. I don't know if you'd break it up, but
no, you can't do that right now.
No, I'm not saying
second
now.
Line is too solid.
Yeah.
Okay, another good one. Casey Cizikas.
A.
B plus. I think
B plus.
Yeah, what maybe A. Okay. Yeah. I guess I just got way too excited about the goals.
I'm not grading on like the overall. Like I'm grading on like where they fit into their roles.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
I would go A.
That's kind of how I'm seeing it.
I'll go A.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. Cal Clutterbuck.
B minus to C plus.
B. What are you mad at Cal Clutterbuck for?
Because he's been better at killing penalties lately, but like this is the whole my whole point with like the fourth line is like, are you really getting much out of like him running around hitting people? Here's like this is gonna sound weird, and like I get Islander fans that would be like, you're an idiot, Damon. Like you need that. They set the tone and all that, but like Cal Clutterbuck, like. He's not really like a presence out there. Like he's a good soldier, but like I want more from him. He's got a wicked shot. He's only got what, one or two goals this year? Like show me more. Show me more.
Cal Clutterbuck has 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 25 games. Ready? He is the second highest plus minus on the Islanders. And I know that plus minus isn't anything. Alone at +9. Now, Matt Barzal is a +13, and third on the Islanders in plus minus is Beauvillier and Taves, who are +8. Cal Clutterbuck is a +9. I think that he has been one of the most underrated guys on the team this year.
That's surprising.
He's been great. I think he's been great on the penalty kill. I think that he was good, that he was really good when Dal Cole went and played with Cizikas and him. And I think that he played well when he played a couple games in the third line as well. I think that if we're giving Josh Bailey credit for moving around throughout the lineup, which we absolutely should be, I think we should do the same for Clutterbuck, because I think he's done it well as well. Not to mention, he played with different guys on the penalty kill as well. Like, Cizikas was out. He had times where he played with Komarov and Beauvillier and Nelson and whoever you like.
All right, so let me ask you this. What do you grade Michael Dal Cole?
No, don't jump ahead. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Are we gonna get to
that? Can't jump around. I mean, that's just gonna make it even more confusing.
I didn't know we were going in an order. I didn't know.
It's alphabetical. No. Pretty sure it's alphabetical.
This is alphabetical.
Come on,
alphabet. I wasn't paying attention to that.
Come on now. Yes. Now, are you convinced me? I'll give him a B minus.
A B minus after all that convincing.
I'm still going with a B minus. I'll go B.
I was gonna go with a B plus.
I go B.
All right, fine. So his average is a B.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take that.
That's fair.
I think we're being really tough on Cal Clutterbuck, but okay.
He could do more.
Well, Nino Niederreiter was top 5 pick, and that was who we traded for a grunt, fourth line grunt.
Easy.
And you know what? Cal Clutterbuck hasn't been the same since he shaved.
You're right. You're right.
Okay, well, guess who is next? Alphabet geniuses. Michael Dal Cole.
I give Michael Dal Cole the same grade I give Cal Clutterbuck.
Really?
B minus.
Why?
Because I think that the fourth line looks good when he's out there. He's moving his feet. He's hitting people. He's not going to be a goal scorer on this team. It's like, we know that. Like, so, okay, if you're going to credit Clutterbuck for running around and hitting people, I think you have to do the same for Michael Dal Cole. And I know a lot of people want to like roast this kid, but like he's doing what he's asked. He's in on the forecheck. He's the first one in on the forecheck, and he grinds out the opponent. And then the first and second line come out to, you know, against a tired defenseman. So I think he's been perfectly average.
Okay. Would you like a quick show of the hit totals on the year for those three, for those two guys?
No, I Cal know that Clutterbuck hits more. I know that he hits more. Like,
okay,
that,
I can't
not,
find like Dal Cole's hit.
But like that's but forecheck pressure is not the same as like just like hitting. Like
he's
in. Watch tonight and watch if he plays. I know he's been scratched lately, but if he plays, watch. He's the first one in on the forecheck every time.
Dal Cole averages 1 hit per game, and Clutterbuck averages 3.
I don't like Dal Cole, but I don't think he's a bad player. I just think that he's super expendable. Like, it just doesn't really matter. I mean,
right. And like, do you want to factor in like how much he makes a year versus how much Clutterbuck makes a year? Because we can play that game too.
And durability, okay. Clutterbuck has a little bit of an issue, even though he's been healthy, knock on wood. That could change at any moment. It's been hasn't, you know, where like I gotta give him the same grade as Damon just because like Dal Cole could easily step in and kind of do what Clutterbuck's doing. If anything, I feel like Clutterbuck's a little better at that job, if that makes any sense, that they're doing right now. I just don't think Dal Cole can do any more than what his role is, which is like
Yeah, but he's not very good.
Yeah.
That's why I want to give him a C.
No. I think you have to, like, hurt the team to, like, get a grade like a
below a C. He doesn't make turnovers. Like,
he doesn't hurt the
team. He's doing exactly what they're asking of him. And honestly, like, Lou Lamoriello is not a moron. If he was that bad, why would Lou bring him back again? Like, he's on the cheap. He's a cheap grinder. Like,
you know who I think is significantly
that bad?
I can't. I don't want to jump around. Okay, I'm not going to jump around. But
I think we should give him a C+.
I'm going to give him a B.
Okay, then it's a B minus.
Yeah, I'll give him a B. Yeah, he's a B minus. That's what I think he is. He's a B minus.
Okay. That took a while on Del Cole, but okay. Ooh, interesting one.
I love how you were like, oh, it's going to be 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, we're really going through every player. Okay, 40 minutes later, I guess I'm not having dinner anytime soon.
We're halfway done already.
Well, my point will just kind of wrap up this thing because it'll kind of like make sense.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Noah Dobson.
He hasn't played 10 games yet. Incomplete.
Okay, yeah. Fair. Jordan Eberle.
C plus. I was gonna say same thing.
C+.
Second half player though, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, he'll heat up, but it's not the fact that he's not scoring goals. It's the fact that he's not doing much else either up to this point.
But like, who's he playing with?
Aside from not scoring, it's not like he gets caught in his own zone.
Yeah, he's been pretty soft in his own zone defensively. There's been a couple of goals that have been right in front of the net because he's not tying up his man and stuff. So, like, I'm not disappointed. Look, if I had the opportunity, would I want to sign him, like, last year again knowing that he wouldn't score? Yeah, of course. Like, I think he is a threat that will get hot. But, like, up to this point, 2 goals in, what, 16 games? Like, that's not good enough. He's supposed to be a top six winger. And we've got other guys knocking on the door, and he's taking up their spot. So,
okay, Thomas Greiss.
A+, man.
A+.
All right, Ross Johnston has not played 10 games, right?
Incomplete.
Still a good player.
Poikola has also not played 10 games.
Incomplete.
Leo Komarov.
I'll go first.
Has he played 10 games?
He played 12. And he is so much better than Dal Col. It's not even funny, and they do the same job. I don't care that he's cost more money, but dude, the guy hustles. He's a rat out there, kind of, you know, like you need a guy like that. He hustles. He's a smart player.
So a D is what you're saying.
No, dude, he's better than Dal Col. Komarov is better than Dal Col.
I know. I needed to set you off.
I hate you.
I actually don't think he's been that good. I mean, he's getting like no ice time, and it's for a reason.
Played good last night.
Like 6 minutes last night.
What do you expect out of him? Like, again, it goes back to the expectation. Yeah. What do you expect out of Leo Komarov?
As a fourth liner.
He's a grunt.
Yeah. Okay, so B.
Dude, he plays way faster. He plays way harder than Dal Col. Dal Col is a soft. He's not making anything happen. Literally, he's invisible out there, okay?
I give Leo a B. The issue
that I have is that if we're giving Dal Col a B- for being invisible, as you're saying, Kenny.
Yes.
And we're giving Clutterbuck a B for being one of the better players in the team this year.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Because he's a +8. Like,
no, he's not one of the better players, no. I don't think he is.
Are you serious?
I said one of the better role players.
What does he do out there? Explain to me why you're enamored with Cal Clutterbuck. Let's go down this.
First of all, he is either the second or third best penalty-killing forward on the team, and he was the second best for most of the season because Cizikas was out.
I think he gets that bump. He's much better when he's playing with Casey Cizikas because Casey's an animal out there. I think Cal struggles a lot with clearing the puck on the penalty kill.
I think he's a really good battler in the offensive zone. He always wins the puck back. In the offensive zone, and he finds Cizikas, and Cizikas finds him, and they're really good at knocking it out to the point, and then you'll see like a random shot on goal from Pellick or Mayfield or something like that. He's a underrated net front presence. I could go on, but we are trying to save time.
I mean, I agree with that argument. I think they looked best when Dal Cole was with those two as your fourth
line. But I think that's more of a knock on Matt Martin than it is a knock on Cal Clutterbuck.
True. Martin
has not been great. Martin's grade, which I don't think is going to be that high for us. We haven't been that high on him. But I don't see why that has to do with Clutterbuck and why it does have to do with Martin-ish. I don't think you're saying that, but...
No, I'm not. I was just saying I think I like Dal Cole on that fourth line. You're talking about a guy who's got – yeah, he's a plus and he's a physical presence, but, like, he's got two goals. Like on a team that – where you've got, you know, Matt Barzal, Josh Bailey, Brock Nelson, all doing real good – Derek Brassard doing – Anthony Beauvillier. Like, you're saying that he's one of the best Islanders?
One of the best role players. And I think if we're giving him the same grade as Leo Komarov, who played half the year and doesn't have a goal, like – I just think that Clutterbuck was a B+, and I think if you're going to give if we were so down on Clutterbuck, so high on Dal Cole, and we think Komarov got the same grade as Clutterbuck, I'm not sure.
I put Leo the same grade that I gave Dal Cole. Like I B-. Don't like those are interchangeable guys.
Yeah, I agree. He's a B-.
Komarov just gets on the puck quick. Like he might not be the guy to like actually physically take the turnover, but there are. He plays the system well. Like he's a guy who just is like a motor. Like there's no lazy in his game. Like he goes hard. It's sloppy. He's a hateable guy.
He's only a one-way player, dude. Like he's only good without the puck.
Yeah, that's fine. You need a guy like that. I think his
same with Michael Dal Cole.
I think that I expect more out of Michael Dal Cole. That's my problem. I expect a little bit more.
I just know that it's a guy who's making $700,000.
True. Money's a factor as well. You know, but if you had one game to put a guy in a lineup, who you scratch? Komarov or Dal Cole?
But Leo Komarov makes the same amount of money that Cal Clutterbuck does.
That's both not a great situation, yeah.
Yeah, they're both – you're overpaying for two role players, in my opinion.
Yeah, but
I think Clutterbuck and Komarov are both better than Dal Cole, though. It's not worth right. It's not $3 million worth better, you know, right. Obviously, but exactly.
That's my point. You need guys like that that are making no money that can just like plug in.
This is how good
like,
the Islanders gonna, are.
They're not going to win or lose you a game. They're just going to get you to your next shift in a safe way. Why would you not like a guy who makes $700,000 versus a guy who's making $3 or $3.5 million? Like, it's a no brainer. I think Cal is more important to the team than either of those two guys, for sure. For sure. Like, no mistake about it. But, like, I just – I want more out of him. Like, he's got a good shot. He should have more than two goals.
Okay, fine. We'll give Komarov a B.
That might be generous.
Didn't we give Dal Cole a B-?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give him higher than – then a B-.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get – okay, agreed, because that's what I want to give in the first place. Yeah. Okay, interesting one, considering if you've been a listener from the beginning, so shout out to the – what's the word to say for like – oh, the guinea pigs, the OGs. Nick Leddy.
B+?
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, talk about a guy who could do more. It's like the skill set.
Nick Leddy,
know.
Yeah, but – already.
You know, you talk about like where all of my rage has come from for Nick Leddy has been him quarterback in the power play, and that's not happening anymore. So it's just gone. Like the rage is gone. I'm like, oh yeah, he's fast. Cool. Like,
I'm aware that Devin Taves is making $750,000 and Leddy is making $6 million, and we're probably gonna give Taves an A. Spoiler. But he only has one more point than Nick Leddy does. Leddy has 2 goals and 8 assists, and he has played 20 games. He's a point per every other game player.
And, half point per game, 40 points pace. Like, I guess like a B+.
That what you'd ask for?
The defense has all been like pretty much like B+ to A-. Like, you can't ask for anything else on any of those defensemen. Like, they've all been really solid.
Yeah, I think even an A- is possible just because we expected less going into it.
Yeah,
I agree. The point that Damon made, like, okay, he's not running the power play anymore. now he's not hurting the team as much. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay, I he's tolerable. Let's also remember he had both of those goals in one game. And he's only had 1 point in his last, like, six games. So he's just not consistent.
He's also
and I
been
feel
hurt,
like
he, though. He's hurt. He's yeah. fighting something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I think that Taves is a way better hockey player, regardless of how many points they may have. What's up?
What's your grade?
B+.
Okay.
He doesn't, he's not on the power play, you know?
Because we both gave him A-, so it rounds up.
Yeah.
A-, yeah.
Anders Lee.
I don't.
B minus. He's top
B.
Line. He is like, this is where you get into like your expectations for guys and the roles, and that's why I was saying like he's a first line winger who has been struggling. I think even a B minus is generous up to this point.
He has 13 points. Like, I know that's not good enough for him, but I don't think it's B minus worthy. Like, he has 13 points. He had 13.7 goals and an 11 game goal slump. Like,
he's starting to get
from
he's starting to figure it out.
He played really well.
Yeah, but compare him to like every other first line winger in the league. Like,
I don't look at him as like a first line player, even though he is on the first line. I think he's more a product of like his style of play with the other guys that we use on the first line.
100%. I agree. That's, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, he's
and
not
also
like
that he's the captain, I think.
Like, if you had him on any second line in the league, he's probably one of the better second line players in the entire league. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like he really, but he's only there because he had such great chemistry with Barzal and
I mean, that's why this is hard, because like it's a full like you're it's 25 games is still like a small sample size. Exactly. Like up to this point, like, yeah, like I think like a I would have a hard time giving him higher than a B minus because he went through a 10 game goal slump and really didn't play all that great in those 10 games either. Like towards the end, he was starting to get his chances and stuff. But like that's half of this first third of the season. So
yeah,
how could you give him higher than that?
I think I was going to go B.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Hey, what about you?
I'm going to go B.
Okay, so it rounds up to a B.
Yeah, he could do more.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think, what a B is. Like, okay, you could do more. Matt Martin.
C. He hasn't looked – he just looks like the guy who doesn't belong out there kind of on just like skating-wise and just lumbering around. He just – the game is like
he's another
a
guy
little bit too quick. Yeah. He's hurt a lot.
He's picked it up a little bit in the last couple games, which is why I was like leaning towards C+. But then he has the same grade as Eberle, and I don't think I don't know. I think he's been comparable to Eberle.
Yeah, but again, try not to compare them. Like, try to think of it this way: like, what Matt Martin's role is, how well has he done that? How well has he been a physical presence that has help the Islanders generate momentum on that fourth line?
I mean,
don't know if he's been as effective as he has been in the past.
I like Johnston better than him on the fourth line, to be honest. Like,
I mean, he still hits the shit out of people. He's just not working as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I see flat C.
Yeah.
Like, he averages 4 hits a game. It just doesn't really generate anything.
Right, and well, that's his job, is to hit people. So, like, that's why you're getting paid. So you should have 4 hits.
That is
like,
kind of doing his job, which is what we're saying, which is why.
But it's not the same. Like, you know, like, that's where you have to look at the eye test too. Besides the stats, like, it doesn't. Yeah. It's not as noticeable as it has been in years past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He looks like he's starting to. You're starting to see the effects of him playing this hard for this long.
Right.
In my
like
opinion.
He's not a C or an F. Like, he's not like a complete waste. Like, he's perfectly average, I think, right now.
I feel like the only guy on that fourth line that doesn't look like he's being, like, weathered at all is Cizikas. But you can see the effects on Clutterbuck and Martin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's years of tough service, man. Like, I give these guys a full, like look, like, say – I might say things about Clutter and Martin, but, like, I love those guys. Like, they gave everything to this team, and they continue to do so. I mean, those are warriors. Those are the guys you need in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's just get through the last six really quickly. Scott Mayfield.
B.
I was going to go
better last year. He looked more effective last year, but that might be because Taves and other Pulak, everyone's like playing a bigger role, and I feel like maybe it doesn't look as pretty. Like, he's a little bit lumbering out there compared to like everyone else. That doesn't always mean that, you know, but he's a physical presence out there. Like, you need him out there every single night. No one gets stupid when he's out there for the most part.
Yeah.
He still gets everything on net.
I was going to give him a B plus just because I don't think
you can. Our defense has been really good.
So exactly. You can't really say.
I don't have a problem with the B plus.
Yeah. I think he could do more, though. I feel like there's more to his game.
Yeah. Well, that'll take him into the A category then.
Yeah. But also, you got to remember he's only getting paid like $10 an hour. So. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why they're thinking B plus.
More selling popcorn in the stands.
Yeah. He gets commission.
I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm not sure whether this has kind of come the way I wanted it to, because I was just thinking about, like, you know, quarter grades. Like, you know, I just got quarter grades for my teachers, and we won't tell my parents that. I think that it was, you know, the goal was just to see, all right, how's we doing? But I think it maybe is coming across like we're judging them. And, like, these are guys, with the exception of the two guys who we gave Cs to plus the B-minus, the two B-minuses, like, so Matt Martin, Jordan Eberle, Leo Komarov, and Michael Dal Colle, like, we're not trying to criticize these guys. Like, they're playing really good hockey. The Islanders are playing really good hockey. It's just sort of like, individually, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then just moving on, why did this lag on me? Next is Brock Nelson.
A. He's finally gotten
I give him an A-minus.
He gets 20 points.
I think A. Just because, like, it seems like it's not just Brocktober anymore, for real. So
yeah, I mean, he's working his way into like a legit 2C for us, which is huge. So yeah, no, yeah. I think you're right. Maybe yeah. A. I mean,
wow, he's a minus one.
I don't care. Yeah, about that.
But he's playing tough minutes. Like, he's playing against. Like,
I'm not. There are only four guys on the Islanders who are minuses. Guess them. Actually, guess three of them, because one of them is Tom Kunackle.
I don't know.
I'm going to say
– eye test?
No, I'm going to say minuses. I'm going to say
– well, you already have Nelson and Kunackle, so you have two more to guess.
Barzal?
One of them you should get.
No?
Not Dal Colle. Barzal's number one.
Barzal's like a plus 13 or something. Like,
yeah.
It's not. Is it like
Pulak?
Like the third line guys? Like.
No, we're talking about big names.
Really?
So you've got Josh Bailey as a minus one.
Are you serious?
I know. Isn't that whack? Like, you really? Would think that, because he's been really good in his own zone, as of Brock Nelson.
That's surprising. That's super surprising.
One of the, I think, like, props to this team, because they have four guys in the minuses, three of them are minus one, and then the minus three, I feel like you should get. There's one. That's just that's the worst plus minus on the team.
Nick Leddy.
No.
Trust me, I would have got that.
I think he left plus five. Plus six.
Something's wrong.
So who is it?
Jordan Eberle.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That would make sense. Hey, I gotta wrap this up quick, guys. So let's.
Okay.
I'll save mine for next week. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean this to take forever. Three more or four more. Adam Pellick.
A plus.
Agreed.
Yeah, A plus. I would say. I mean, can't really complain.
Ryan Pulak.
A plus.
Yeah. Andrew. A plus.
They're minute eaters, man. Like, they just go.
What do we give Nelson again?
A. I gave him an A.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, A. Which leaves us with our last two, Devon Taves.
A.
I'm surprised. I agree, A. He hasn't been playing that much lately.
Like, we don't need to ride any one defenseman, though, you know, which is good.
Yeah, he's been, like, last on the minute leaders for, like, five of the last six games.
Yeah, maybe he's tired. This is, like, his first, like, real, like, getting this much minutes, this much, like, responsibility, you know? Yep. Let him spread it out.
Yep.
And the last one is the new guy, Stan Varlamov.
Yeah, I'd give him a. like, a B+.
I got to go A. I mean, expectations, what people expected out of him and what he's delivered, it's like, yeah, the contract's not so hot, but that's for other reasons, you know. So I would go A. If you would have if I read you his stats and we talked about this September 29th, we would have been like A plus.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
So.
True.
Yeah.
It's just hard to compare Bryce him A+. When you compare him to Grice and what Grice has done. Like.
Yeah.
Grice. But Varley's starting to come into his own too. That's why I'm like B plus, A minus. Like, he's getting there. Like the game, the team's 18-5-2. Like, it's so hard to like split hairs.
Yeah.
You've got a 9-22. And he had
the best quote with Shannon. I was just sitting in the stands, thinking about getting popcorn. And
so good. From Scott Mayfield.
A minus, just for the popcorn quote.
Yeah. He was thinking about Scott Mayfield. He's gonna buy popcorn from Scott Mayfield.
I know, it's inception.
Okay, so we gave him an A minus, and our official GPA for the Islanders is a 3.53, which is not too shabby.
Not bad. Not good enough to beat Boston and Montreal in the SATs, but we're getting there. Montreal, Washington.
Boston probably have like a 3.7, and this is like there's. We could, if we wanted to go more into this, we could give Bailey and Nelson like honors classes because of the minutes they play.
Right. Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, the Metro was so good that like we didn't even weight any of these grades.
Yeah. No, we could totally weight them. This is unweighted.
Unweighted. I like it. All right. Yeah. Well, we ran long. We said we were gonna do a natural hat trick. So Kenny, give us your topic for maybe next week.
It wasn't really so much a topic. It was just the possibility of what we kind of alluded to earlier in the year on our podcast, that the Islanders could have potentially up to 6 or 7 20 goal scorers. And I don't know. It wasn't really much of a topic. We're just kind of like going to poke your guys' brains on what you guys think.
Well, let's see. So you figure Barzy's going to be there. You figure Eberle's Lee.
Yeah.
Maybe he should.
Yeah. It's only 25 games.
Okay.
He scores in bunches too.
Nelson,
yeah,
Beauvillier. You could look at Brassard as well.
Brassard could.
And yeah. I know Eberle's only at 2, but
he gets hot.
Yeah,
he could see him getting 18.
I think it's at least 6 guys are going to be in the team. Yeah, balanced scoring this year. It's so good to see.
It's great.
Josh Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey can do it too.
Yeah, man, we have literally almost 7 guys that can do it.
Top 6 score, 7 20-goal scorers. You only have 6 top 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's solid. That's solid. I like that.
Pretty
like
crazy. That. Although we're probably going to take the L on that same conversation we talked about Jordan Eberle being a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah, so, I think that ship has sailed. But you never know. He might get 30 if you include playoffs, if he heats up.
And who knows? We might have an eighth 30 goal scorer.
Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
You read my mind.
And Eberle, I put money on he scores again tonight.
Yeah.
Him or Lee.
They need a big game here. Montreal's reeling. You know, Les Habitants are struggling. So, you know, get your poutine ready. Drink, you know, kick back. Pop your Rickards red or your Rickards white. These are Montreal references in case you didn't know.
Yeah. No, I got it.
And I think, you know, we can expect a big game from Bovey because he loves Centre Bell. So
I'm excited. Yes. So this is going to come out after the Montreal game. So hopefully our takes aren't abused tonight. Yeah.
That's true.
Cool.
All right. Well, look, I'm gonna wrap this one up for us. Thank you for putting up with the grading and my rant on Taylor Hall. We appreciate it. We love the listens. Again, we had some really good feedback last week. We read some tweets on the show. So if you are interested, if you want to get your tweet read, you can hit us up on Twitter. Ben is at @LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13. You can make comments on the Facebook page, Long Island Sound Podcast on Facebook. And again, we're on Anchor FM, we're on Spotify, we are on SoundCloud, we are on, you know, all sorts of wonderful places, iTunes. So make sure you subscribe, make sure you hit the like button when we post things. For Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. Later.